Hello, everyone. So many black women and many mothers of autistic children, autism moms, have told me that there needs to be more marriages when it comes to black women and autism moms. And they said that to me specifically because they said, Antonio, we understand that you have a gentlemanly appeal to women, so we need to see you be the one woman man that you're capable of being. And then they told me, us black women, we need husbands like yourself and fathers like yourself to be the family man that we know that you are. And those are things I'm ultra sensitive to. And those are things that have been weighing on my heart for years, because black women say it to me more, and mothers of autistic children, autism moms, are saying that to me more because of the history of the Atlantic slave trade's impact on the demise of many black families, not all. And because of historically violent ableism that has had many demises of autism families, not all of them, plays a role in many black women and many mothers of autistic children, autism moms, being single and not having a large pool of men that are suitors for them in terms of excellent husbandry and marvelous fatherhood. And there are black women are saying, Antonio, please settle down with us. And there are mothers of autistic children, autism moms, saying, Antonio, please settle down with us. And those are things that make sense to me in terms of the reasons why they said these things to me. The black women and the autism moms in particular. And in the past, I remember saying to them that I would love to do those things, but what I've been called to do, my scheduling, and I explained to them all of my gifts. I told them I have some of them, I told them, like, yeah, I am a full-time advocate kind of person. So I said that that I would be spending a lot of my time, majority of my time, combating institutional discrimination, structural discrimination. Discriminatory traditions, discriminatory policies, discriminatory ideas, discriminatory practices, discriminatory laws, discriminatory systems, discriminatory institutions, discriminatory industries, ageism, caste systems, classism, dialect discrimination, ableism, genetic discrimination, texturism, height discrimination, linguistic discrimination, lookism, sanism, racism, colorism, scientific racism, rankism, sexism, sexual orientation discrimination, speciesism, sizeism, viewpoint discrimination, rape culture, whorephobia, hierarchy, victim blaming, victim shaming, and victim gaming, as well as abuse, violence, trauma, victimization, and wickedness in high places, low places, and medium places. So that's what I told the women, the autism moms and the black women. And of course they were upset, and they expressed their upset, and I said, well, I'm not punking out on anything. I'm not punking out on you. And I said, if I had enough time in my schedule, I definitely would do all those things you're saying for me to do. I remember saying that to the autism moms and the black women. I said, I'm a rare breed kind of man, and I appreciate that. And it started becoming happier visibly. They went from frowning to smiling. And I said, it's challenging for me to create enough time to be a family man, because when you're high demand, and I told them, yes, I say no when I need to, I say yes when I need to, and I told them, and they started laughing because I was telling them everything they already know, but they appreciate it anyway. I said, yes, you can tell how I look. I exercise 30 minutes a day, and I eat right every day. I drink healthy fluids every day. I do everything my medical team tells me to do. And I'm not a people pleaser. I'm not a people appeaser. And, you know, I don't live a sedentary lifestyle, and I have excellent work-life balance. And they all were just strongly agreeing with me verbally with everything I was saying, because that's something they already knew about me anyway. And I said, well, I told them, I don't have commitment issues. I don't have jealousy issues. I don't have a covetous spirit. I'm not stingy. I'm not greedy. I'm not vainglory. I'm not vanity type of person. I don't think with my penis. I don't think with my testicles. And I don't have any hypermasculinity issues. And they just started laughing out of strong agreement with me. And I said, well, y'all know I'm not a male misogynist. Chauvinism is not my thing. And I said, I'm not one of those monogamy is bad people. I think monogamy is beautiful. I'm good at monogamy, and I'm not one of those who think bad about having children or being a parent. I think those are excellent realities of life. And I remember telling them that I truly have a heart for family unity. I truly have a heart for the maintenance of black families, autism families, and just family, all families that have been treated as underprivileged and undeserved for all these centuries. And so I told them that I don't have any male pig issues, basically. And they strongly agreed. And I said, well, it's, you know, I told them I'm working on creating more time where hopefully I can get to the point where I can be a family man. And I said, well, it's just hard, you know, when because of me being a rare breed kind of person, rare breed kind of call upon my life, I told them that being at home as much as y'all would need me to be, as much as our kids would need me to be, it's strenuous, not on y'all part, but when I'm basically, I told them at the time, I'm basically called to be a global servant leader, serving the masses of the disenfranchised, each continent, each island. And I said, it would be difficult to have a woman comfortable with always traveling with me, and she would have to have a similar call upon her life as I do, and to, for the most part, not be at home, which would be difficult for the kids to not always be at school. They have to rely on tutoring as they go around the country with us. And I said, that's what I've been called to do. And I would say, even scheduling in date nights would be very tedious. Not on y'all part, but when people always want your time. And I told them, hey, I don't allow anybody to annihilate the downtime I need for myself and for my loved ones. But to constantly be on that kind of having to, you know, help people realize the value of my time and the time of my loved ones, it can be quite a hassle. And I told them that's why I have not been a family man. And I remember they showed a lot of understanding. They marveled at what I said. They appreciated that I spend most of my time looking out for the needy, and that I'm not one of those, well, he just want to have a lot of women just for the sake of it. I was like, that's not my concentration. You know, they didn't say that, but I'm saying to you all listening, that's not my concentration. It's more about would love to, and at the same time, when we're called to do certain things, is very much it can be stressful on any family dynamics of the marital kind, you know. And having a serious relationship would have similar difficulties. In the past, it's easy to listen to my episodes and go, oh, Antonio just wanted to have a lot of women and do porn because he is one of those trying to run through as many women as he could. No, I was showing you in those episodes that even though I have autism, I have the same biological yearnings that most people have. I was, because, and the reason why I've talked a lot about sex is because a lot of times in the autism spectrum, people think that all people with autism are asexual, which is untrue. They think that all people with autism are not even sexual beings. So I did a lot of episodes showing how untrue those sexual stereotypes of us autistic people are. That was the whole point of those episodes. The whole point was not to say, hey, I'm gonna be a macho man and sex all the women that allot themselves to me. No, I don't have that mentality. My mentality was to say, hey, even though I'm autistic, and yes, I was rape cultured as a child, I still have the same biological yearnings that most people have, and I still have sexual fantasies. I still have eroticism and sensuality within me. That was the whole point of this episode, because people, a lot of people think if you're on an autism spectrum, then somehow you don't have preferences in terms of attractions, and you don't have sexual likes, and that you don't have the ability to have limerence and infatuation. And those are also untrue about us. That was the whole point of those episodes. I wanted to show you sides of how my mind works as a human being who just happens to be labeled with autism. That was the whole soliloquy needed for those episodes, okay? So getting back to Black women autism mothers, I meant to say. It has, for me, not been easy to go about dating and sex, and you all know the reasons why. And I had to add this to the episode to make people fully understand where I'm coming from. And I've even had church women talk to me and saying, well, there's not a lot of men who marry us church women. And they turned to look at me and said, Antonio, you know what I'm about to ask you. And I said to them, I'd love for you to be my one and only spouse, mother of our children. And they got really happy. And I told them, what I've been called to do in life, it requires a lot of intercontinental meetings and a lot of caring for the environment and doing a lot of humanitarian projects and keeping animals safe and protecting beings from from oppression. And I remember saying, it was also a way to let it be. I also let them know that I told them sex, dating, marriage, romance, family life is challenging for me, not because of any unresolved issues / conflicts, not because of unsolved problems, not because of unhealed trauma wounds, but because of what's been called on my life. When I said, you know, I told them that I'm also the type of person that does my best to make sure I have enough time for myself and my loved ones. Also, for this new reason, that I do need that kind of support and stability, meaning I gotta have loved ones to help me stay grounded. I do well on that, but I'm at my most well when I have loved ones who support me in having that kind of stability of, you know, my times of, basically being my refuge when I need that kind of refuge in my life, which I do. So the church women understood, And all these women were bummed out. And I think they were saying to me, Antonio, I think there will come a time soon and very soon where the people that help you with your schedule, they said they'll respect that you need to have that time for your family, for us. They inserted themselves in this. And they said, well, Antonio, even the church, when black women, mothers on the autistic spectrum, you know, mothers of children on the autism spectrum, I should say, they all agreed with each other. And they were happy that I said I preferred them. This was in my 20s at the time, you know. This was before I was 26 years old, way before. This was 2018, and possibly a little, about, I think 2018, it was definitely 2018 when I was 24, turned 25 around that time, 2018. Early to mid 2018. I remember these conversations. And black women, mothers on the spectrum, even church women have these conversations with me after 2018. 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. Even during the pandemic, when I would encounter them, you know, it could be a supermarket, it could be on a corner, it could be at a restaurant, it could be anywhere in terms of when those places were opened limitedly because of COVID, they would still have these talks with me. And when life fully reopened, they had even more of these talks with me. They spent even more time with me. So this is still an ongoing conversation they have with me. And I remember them saying, you know, we would love to help you with your schedule. So make sure you're not too busy, because, you know, they said, well, we need a man like you. We need you to marry us. We need you to get us pregnant. And, you know, we need you to, to be at home with us. And I was always touched by that. And it makes me think, you know, I'm not chickening out or hypocriting, because some people say, but you said you're going to be single and child free and pet free, live alone. I did say that. Because the more I'm called, the more I recognize my callings, the more work and busyness that accumulates, right? So I said that because of that. At the same time, I'm honest about the fluidity of my desires. You can want things, but it's hard to have some things because of what's been assigned upon your life. So getting help with my scheduling is a beautiful thing. At the same time, the busyness and the workload I have is that ginormous because it's rare. So it may dissipate somewhat. And at the same time, I say somewhat because, yeah, I'll have a little more time, but not all the time that a spouse and the kids and maybe even our pet would need. Because some of them like, we go on pets together. And I would say, I would have to, like, I don't mind cutting back and cutting down in terms of that family time. And at the same time, I don't live a life of, I'm afraid of disappointing anybody. I don't. What I'm saying is, at the same time, the workload would still be too much to have that consistent family life. And I would try my best to keep it down as much as possible, but it would still be so much that I would be absent too much. And I would be too unavailable. And I'm not making excuses. Y'all know I really mean what I say. It's just challenging. It's challenging to have a call on your life and you're doing your best to just trim it down. But even when you feel like you're trimming stuff down, you got so much that still makes it not good enough in terms of that whole, we need your company, we need your presence. So it would be a miracle if it ever came to a point where I could live that family man life. And at the same time, I can acknowledge the complexity of all this. It's very hard. So I can want something and still go, I'm not sure if that can fully happen. Because also, I told them that I told them because they believe in God, I was able to tell them I have so many spiritual gifts. I pretty much have all of them. I've heard many church people say, you got all the spiritual gifts. I have all the spiritual gifts. I have activism, advocacy gifts. I have all those too. I have all the advocacy, activism gifts. I have all of the coaching gifts, consulting gifts. I have all of the counseling, consoling gifts, and I had to spend a lot of time helping to meet the legislative needs, basic human needs, and interpersonal needs of constituency. So it might possibly work family man wise if I had a woman who is cut from the same cloth for me in terms of why we're on earth and for this new reason. Because most women don't want a man who's always out and about. Which means some of them feel like, well, I have to meet my sexual needs through sex toys than with my actual one and only mate. That would be me. So it's hard. It's hard. And again, I'm not making any excuses. I'm not backtracking. I'm not flip-flopping. I'm just saying that there are intricacies to this. It's like, yeah, I have a certain way of being, but it's not about bravado. It's not about trying to make everybody happy. I'm just saying that a lot of us public figures, especially global icons, we have these struggles. And it's not a denying of ourselves in a bad way. Because in life, you can have certain yearnings, certain inclinations, but your calling may not be able to fully accommodate all of what you want. And your calling may at times may have to make you rethink priorities and needs. And I can acknowledge these parts of myself. And I wanted to do this episode to make it clear that I'm not one of those, oh, he's avoiding marriage, he's avoiding children, he's avoiding pets, he's avoiding living with another and others because he has he has harems and polygamy on his mind. It's not that at all. It's not even because, oh, he is one of those, he uses women, misuses women. No, has nothing to do with that. Oh, he's just like his mom's brother. Hell the fuck no. Or he chooses to adopt organized crime, womanizing and manizing, non-binaryizing of his childhood because he's not healed. Hell the fuck no. Oh, he wants to replicate the sexual past of early young men adulthood. Hell the fuck no. Oh, well, he wants to, he can't have women unless he's a public figure. Hell the fuck no. Antonio wasn't attractive until he became a public figure. Now the ladies are all boner. That's a damn lie for certain. So that's how I feel in my heart. It's not those things at all. And if people really have a heart of empathy, they'll really understand what I'm talking about. The fact that I look at autism moms, black women, and church women as marriage material and motherhood material, that lets you know the soft heart I had towards women in general. And the fact that a lot of them look at me as father material, husband material, shows that they're soft-hearted towards men in general, especially me. And I have a special soft-heartedness towards them. So, I feel like that's just how I feel in my heart. And I do I do acknowledge that I do acknowledge their concerns, and I honor their concerns. I acknowledge them and I honor them. So thank you for allowing me to tell the full story of my marital status.